Special edition of Eye on the Illini, the podcast brought to you by IlliniGuys.com. Larry Smith, Mike Cagley, Connor Cagley, the big story on this day. And it's been news we've been hoping for a couple of months, and especially these past few days. Kofi Coburn, the consensus second-team All-American and first-team All-Big Ten performer, arguably the most dominant player in college basketball, agreeing to come back and return and play for Illinois for his junior season. A lot to talk about here. We want to get right to it. We'll start with you guys, Mike and Connor, and let's start with what this means first for Kofi as a person and a player.
Yeah, let's even go further back. What's it like for the fans? Because this is an awesome day. People have been concerned, scared, frightened, and we've got the PTP player, as Dick Vitale would call him, the primetime player is back. The aircraft carrier in the middle. That is so exciting. And of course, now he's coming back to a team with a new coaching staff, including Tim Anderson, whose specialty is putting guys in the NBA. This has to be a big day for Kofi. Connor, what are you looking at for Kofi's advantages for this?
Well, he can prove to NBA scouts that he is going to be, a player that they can count on. He's got a couple things that he can really add to his game. Show that you're a little bit better passing out of the post, reading double teams, and just working on his free throw shooting. I'm not as, harsh on his game as probably some of the NBA scouts are. I would have 100% gave him a guarantee for at least an early second rounder, if not a late first this year. I think that he will, if he has a good season this year, he will go late first to a team that wants to add a piece that can help them win now. And I think that that's a pretty good motivator for Kofi to, come out here and just dominate the college basketball landscape.
I would agree with all that. I think this does something that I really haven't heard people talk about with Kofi Coburn during this whole saga with, the NBA draft. We knew was coming, the surprise going into the portal and maybe a couple of teams out there he was talking with. What this has done for Kofi Coburn, it has solidified him as, if not one of the players to watch this season, but arguably the player to watch this season. He goes from he was a second team All-American consensus. He only missed the second team on one team. He was a third team All-American on that list. But now he comes in having flirted with the blue blood, having flirted with the NBA. He comes in now as somebody that, if he was not a household name before, there are a lot more people who know who Kofi Coburn is now than who he was 2 months ago. He has great name value now outside of Illinois and the Big Ten, but all across the country. I think as crazy as some people may say this was, and it was, it's been crazy. I think this was huge for his brand with a name, image, likeness. It only increases his name value. Not just again here, but even again across the country, and I think it's huge for him. I agree that I think now he could step out and show all these other things. What an incredibly versatile piece he becomes inside, and the challenge to show the NBA scouts that he can do all these things that people are saying he can't do. What an amazing opportunity for him to do those things while leading Illinois again to a high seed and a deeper run in the NCAA.
Yeah, and if you want more information, Connor's article on Kofi's path to the NBA just went up earlier yesterday on Thursday. So it would be a good one for folks to read because it does kind of talk about some of the things that could be happening. Of course, at the time, we were still nervous about where Kofi was going. And now that article is much more palatable because we know Kofi is an Illini.
Absolutely. Connor, great job with that as always. So let's shift gears just a little bit here because we've got Kofi here, double-double machine, arguably the most dominant player in college basketball this coming season, and someone who's going to be on the short list for everybody's National Player of the Year, although I think we'd agree that our Andre Curbelo could wind up being a part of that list as well before we get to March. Let's talk about what this means for the Illini team. And in terms of having this player there, already you could argue a deeper team than last year. You could argue a more veteran team than last year. But now you've got another piece. You've got a bona fide All-American and potentially a second All-American candidate in Curbelo. This is a loaded Illini team to put on the floor this season.
Yeah, this team is going to be tougher than nails. You know, you're looking at an opportunity here for Illinois to continue to play at an extremely high level. You know, Michigan, Purdue, Illinois are probably the early favorites for the Big Ten title. We could even see Illinois be in the rare air of possibly earning two number one seeds in a row. You know, they would be at least a top 10 team. This team is going to be fun to watch, and they should be extremely talented.
Yeah, I think I was reading somewhere that they were going to be even higher on Bart Torvik's projections, and that's not even including the fact that Austin Hutcherson is going to be not available in any of those projections at all because he's only has experience at the D3 level. So if you think Gonzaga is probably going to be just as good next season as they were this year, and UCLA is obviously coming off a Final Four, there really isn't any team that returns similar amounts that was as good this year. So Illinois should be at the top of the conference, and with, you know, Frazier and Curbelo, one of the best backcourts in the entire country, to go along with the fact that we have the most dominant inside presence in the entire college basketball.
Well, and on top of that, I think, again, talking to about the depth, I agree with you that in Curbelo, Frazier, Alfonso Plummer, the fifth-year senior coming in, the super senior, if you will, from Utah, who shot 40% from three. You know, I think that many of the experts and insiders consider him an upgrade over Adam Miller, who you lose after one season as he transfers to LSU. You do lose Ayo Dosunmu, and I think the big question is, can you replace him? Is Austin Hutcherson the guy? Does Jacob Grandison have the game? But I think there's no question. I think that from a ranking standpoint, we know how these voters go, and we see it already in the preseason. And the question is, where will they start? I still think that Illinois won't get the respect. Should Illinois be a preseason top five team? Absolutely. I'm not sure they'll get the respect from the national media and the coaches to get there.
Yeah, and that's fine. Illinois played extremely well last year with a chip on their shoulder, so I invite that to come again. Brad Underwood is a master at that, and maybe he's a little bit like Robert Conrad, where he wants somebody to knock that off his shoulder. And I just think that this team is going to be good, and I think they may, because of Ayo and his heroics down the stretch of many a game, I think this team could very well be a number one seed that people won't see coming again. And I think the main thing that people can be happy about is taking a look at the performance of the team when Ayo was out for a few games. That team ran an offense really well, and they didn't have Austin Hutcherson, and they didn't have Curbelo shooting the three-pointers at a higher clip. So there's a lot to be optimistic about as the team gets ready to go.
Yeah, I want to jump in here, and Connor, I want to get your thoughts on that too, that you're right. I think I look at not just the Michigan game, and let's be honest, Juwan Howard is a coach still looking for his first win ever against Illinois and a Brad Underwood coach team. That's never happened. Until that happens, don't talk to me about Michigan. The other thing is, when you see what the team did at Michigan and what they did even against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, which I wrote about back then, I felt that was the biggest win of the season because it actually at that point gave you a banner, which the Michigan game, the way the Big Ten set up its scheduling, did not. But in both those games, Curbelo was simply magnificent. And I think that's the piece now. If you got more shooters around and a more mature Curbelo, as we saw in that Ohio State game and some of the things that he did, the difference maker that he was, I think this is a team that, again, you really could exceed what they did last year. Connor, what say you?
Oh, I'm going to be in agreement, obviously. I think that the media is probably not going to give us the respect that Illinois probably deserves at this point. They'll probably have us somewhere in between maybe 10 and 15. But given what other teams have lost, Illinois should be a consensus top five team going into the season. And Kofi's addition back to the roster really takes Illinois's, or at least what people thought, perception-wise, what our weakness was going to be. You know, Coleman Hawkins has potential moving forward. Omar Payne was a top 50 recruit, but he hasn't really put much into the actual production on the court so far. And so when you add Kofi, those players just become a luxury. And you have a guy that can pretty much go out there and get you 20 and 10 for the entire season. And barring an injury, I would expect him to be, just based on perception alone, he's going to be, him and Drew Timmy are going to be fighting it out for the National Player of the Year.
I wouldn't argue with that at all. And to your point, I think, you know, we talked just not only about Curbelo, about Kofi, about Frazier. We mentioned Plummer. You mentioned Coleman Hawkins, kind of the lost guy at a 6'10 stretch four, who had a solid freshman season, I guess we can say, without the help of the usual, you know, off-season conditioning program that that Fletch puts on thanks to COVID. He comes back with a year under his belt. But you talk about bringing in Omar Payne from Florida, who's a former top 50 recruit out of the academy down there in Florida. The three freshmen, Melendez and Pajimski and Goody. We mentioned Grandison and Hutchison. I mean, you all of a sudden you've got a lot of pieces. One question was, does Illinois go out and fill that final scholarship? I think you leave it open. You know, there was the conversation about the 6'11 kid Traore out of the French kid import who plays in Maryland. Maybe he's a class of 22. Maybe he commits and reclassifies like we saw Mac Etienne do last year with UCLA. You leave it open for him. But I think at the same time right now, you've got enough at the four with Hutchison. I'm sorry, with Hawkins, with Payne. You know, Grandison, we saw him play a little bit of undersized four, and he was effective. We haven't talked about Demonte Williams. We don't really want him at the four, but that's another super senior that brings you, you know, some very nice pinpoint three-point shooting. And boy, a couple years ago, we couldn't say that. There are so many pieces right now, veteran pieces you've got on this team. It's just a lot of talent.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, I guess, first I'll go to Demonte real quick before I talk about the overall team. Demonte's got to be so happy that he's going to be guarding guys who don't, that he doesn't give up 6 to 7 inches to.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of guys who are going to go, this isn't very fun getting guarded by Demonte. So I think that's great. But I think we really have to look at this recruiting. So you have a situation here where Chester Frazier, who's, you know, one of the new kids on the block, so to speak, has landed Epps and Harris, you know, two fantastic players. And now we're in a position where if this team goes forward and builds on what should have been an NCAA appearance, you know, in Io's sophomore year, puts on a number one seed last year, and then this year gets another number one or number two seed and has a fulfilling run in the NCAA, this is going to help Illini recruiting as they build the 2022 class. Maybe that extra scholarship you're talking about gets used for a very good player who decides a little bit later. And of course, when you're out on looking for 2023s in a class that is not as strong as some of the other classes, Illinois might be flexing their muscles and having some of the best signee classes in the history of the program when the overall talent is down a little bit. So Kofi's signing is really a long-term positive effect for the Illini, and I don't think we can overlook that.
You know, something too I want to bring up, and I want to get both your thoughts on this, is, you know, for all the hand-wringing that's done over the season and over the summer, and we're used to that, we get it, it's a part of it, God bless everybody. But, you know, somebody mentioned that really this, this summer, the Illini program and or Brad Underwood has been a lot like Andy Dufresne on Shawshank Redemption. You know, you crawled through 500 yards of muck, foul-smelling muck that we can't imagine, and you come out smelling pretty clean the other end. So as we stand right now, we've got he kept the top center in the country. He keeps him, leaves the draft. He's got him for another year. He added the top three-point shooter in the portal. He added a top 50 prospect as a big man that's going to back up at 4 and 5. He kept the three commits, high school commits, that he had for the 2021 class. He kept the two super seniors in Frazier and Williams. They both come back. Then, as you mentioned, in recruiting, he's already got two top 60 guards in Epps and Harris coming in. Plus, he's got more scholarships to use. He's got not only the mojo going for 2022, he's got some kids in 2023 that are already, if not ready to pop, very, very, very interested in what he has to sell there in Champaign. So for all the hand-wringing and the, oh, my God, the doom and gloom, and this program is going nowhere, we might only win 15 games, is there a Illini fan anywhere who wouldn't take this and consider it a big win?
I mean, I don't think so, but you never know just based on Illini fans. But it's hard not to see the momentum that is coming with this program right now. And just based on the 2022 recruits and the 2023 recruits, with a potential 1 or 2 seed, it's hard to see us really falling that far down if they can capitalize on what's going to happen this season.
Yeah, and I think probably the biggest off-season positive for me, and this is a little wonky, and I'll admit that, is you had Coach Underwood, who's really proving the eye for talent that you need to run a program and keep it going, because the three coaches that he hired previously all got good jobs when they left Illinois, you know, two to Kentucky, one to Gonzaga. It's not like he hires somebody and then they go to a directional U in a far flung state. And now he brings in Chester Frazier, who's, quite frankly, kicking butt from day one. You've got Jeff Alexander, who is one of the people who is responsible for Kofi coming back. And you have Tim Anderson, who is looked at across the country, both from AAU programs and also from the NBA, as being a guy who's a master at skill building. So, you know, you're also creating a environment where coaches want to come, because if you come here and Coach Underwood hires you, that immediately means that you're a good coach. So there's a lot of things that are going on right now for Illini fans to feel good about. Obviously, the season is going to depend on people playing to the levels that they're expected and no injuries. And I think it's a really good position to be in. That won't stop all of us from being nervous when they start missing a few shots in an NCAA game. But I really think this team is set up to take that step up. And maybe during this time of transition, when Duke has a new coach, North Carolina has a new coach, maybe we see the Illini elevate up into that blue blood. Not going to be easy. Going to be plenty of people trying to stop him, but it seems like we have the right guy running the program to make that happen.
I can't argue with any of that. There's no question at all. The next thing we look forward to is really August 28th in the football season with Brett Bielema's debut as the Illini football coach, not just because we want to see what the Illini can do in football and hopefully the first step toward the kind of resurrection of that program that we are seeing what Underwood has done, but also that's because you'll have some very key basketball recruits visiting, and we could see the next commitment. If not before then, we could see the next commitment come shortly after that from one of those players.
Yep.
All right, we're going to close it there and go on, and I'm sure there's a celebration somewhere down on Green Street. There's no question. Somewhere, somehow, people are partying responsibly and legally. Kofi Coburn is headed back to the Illini, so get ready for A big year of orange and blue in the State Farm Center. I guess we can call Underwood, that's the State Farm Redemption, I guess, or the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
Kind of stuck on that. So I got it needs some work, but I'm gonna go with that for now. It's like a bad dad joke. But hey, we're gonna stop it right here. This is the Eye on the Illini, and don't forget IlliniGuys.com, the place to go for instant insider information 24/7, free 7-day trial. Make sure you get in there and get in the message boards, because all the things we put out on the outside and podcasts like this and stories like what Cotter put together, it's instance on inside of that on the message boards inside the forums. But we're here 24/7 for you, having a lot of fun talking Illini sports all the time. Don't forget, if you're in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, halfway around the world, we got you covered, IlliniGuys.com. This is Eye on the Illini. We'll see you next time.